Let's take our Bibles for our scripture reading, Psalm 130. In our message in 1 Samuel, we're going to be considering what it is to seek the Lord in mercy. Here, we have a good description of what that is. I love to come to the scripture and look for what God has to say about some of these questions that we may have, and that is, if the Lord is the one who shows mercy as he will, how do I know if he has been so pleased to show me mercy? And I like to compare it to a child being born. How do you know that a child, a baby, has been born alive? Well, you listen for the cry. That baby doesn't try to come up with the cry, but the life causes that baby to cry out and to hunger and to thirst. And to me, that's the greatest evidence of the Lord's grace in the heart of a sinner. So we see that here in Psalm 130. Out of the depths, there it is, have I cried unto thee, O Lord. So is there that cry? And how does that cry come? Mercy is shown to the needy. And so when it says, out of the depths, when the Lord by his Spirit causes a sinner to see the depths of their sin, the depths of their condemnation, the depths of their lost estate, because it is the Spirit that causes the sinner to see that need, therefore the conclusion is they cry. But who do they cry unto? They're not running to a preacher, they're not running to a friend, they're not seeking counsel from anybody. Here it says, have I cried unto thee, O Lord? To me, that's the greatest indication of a work of grace in the heart, because the Spirit will only direct sinners to one object, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't come to set men and women to doing or self-help. No, I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Now, you'll notice capital L-O-R-D, that's Jehovah God. In verse 2, it's little L-O-R-D. It's not a different God, but it's a different title for God. That, when you see L, capital L, and then O-R-D in small letters, is the word for Hebrew for sovereign. So the cry is addressed to the Lord, and we've seen already in our studies in the Psalms that that's Jehovah God, that's Christ. But how is he to be addressed? As sovereign. When it says here, Lord, hear my voice, it's not demanding anything. It's recognizing that he has the right to show mercy or withhold it. You can't get by that. So, Lord, sovereign, hear my voice. That's a plea. If you so please, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. And there it is again, supplication. It's not demanding, it's asking. Lord, if you would be merciful to me, the sinner. Now, we hear a lot in religion today about man letting God do such and such. God would like to save you, but you've got to let him. You ever hear that? That's all over. That's popular. Don't even need to ask that question. But notice who does the letting here. It's not man. Let thine ears be attentive. In other words, if you so please, Lord, may it be your pleasure to let me hear your voice and the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, and this is the basis for asking for mercy, it's because we have no ground of acceptance. We have no reason in us for God ever to save other than his mercy. And the acknowledgement here, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Do you really want to stand before a holy God on your merits or based on your works or your will? When people get talking about man's supposed free will, I always say, really? Is that really how you want to stand before a holy God? Think about how often you have will not, because that's our nature. I will not have this man to reign over me. And knowing that, if God should mark iniquity, who could stand? We all are rebels by nature. Here's that little three-letter word in verse 4, but. The contrast to God marking iniquity, there is forgiveness with thee. That word forgiveness means the complete releasing from any culpability or condemnation, any curse that sin might bring upon us, released. It's the word for being justified. You can't separate being justified before God and forgiveness. Where he has forgiven, there is justification. And where there's justification, he has forgiven. There is forgiveness, but notice, with thee, it's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in the doctrine. Some people feel like, well, if I just learn the right doctrine, then I can have some hope of salvation. It is true, you can't come to Christ apart from right doctrine. The word doctrine means teaching. But you can have all of the doctrine straight in your mind, if you will. But forgiveness is in the person. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Again, it comes back to his sovereignty there in verse 2, that L-O-R-D. That there is mercy, but who has it? There's forgiveness, but who has it? It's in his hand. It's not in ours. It's in his hand. Why? That thou mayest be feared. In other words, revered. That's why in this popular message today, there's no fear of God, because it's all up to man. And man just kind of walks around and says, well, I'll decide when I decide. That's the thought. But that in and of itself shows a blindness and a state of condemnation. No, when the forgiveness is with thee, in other words, in God's hand, I'll tell you, that is a God to be feared, because he just doesn't hand it out like candy. It's according to his will. It's according to that work of the Lord Jesus Christ that he came and accomplished. And so, verse 5, the waiting. I wait for the Lord. Do you realize what it is to wait for the Lord? That means not even the little pinky wiggling. That's something impossible for us. Because we think somehow by what we do, we can influence what God does for us. You've heard people say that. I have someone today say that to me. Well, keep praying, because we need all the prayers we can get. Well, the idea is that somehow if someone breaks that link by not holding hands with somebody else and keep praying, that somehow God now is not going to be able to do what he said he would do. That's not waiting. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And notice, it's a waiting in the heart upon the Lord. And that waiting is such a submission to God that should he not show mercy, it's like Esther said, going before the king, if I perish, I perish. But I'll perish waiting. I'll wait on the Lord. She had to wait for him to extend that scepter for her to approach. This is a God that the world doesn't know, but those that are the Lord's know it. So they wait. And what? My soul doth wait. So it's talking about a spiritual work. And in his word do I hope. It could be this written word here that's inspired, but in his word, in other words, what he has promised, it could be that. But also, as we've seen, wherever you see that word, in his word, you can put right next to it Christ, because Christ is the word. In Christ do I hope. all that you have promised for sinners such as I am. In that one do I hope. So again, it comes back to forgiveness with thee. It's in the person of Christ. There are a bunch of people running around that have faith in their faith. They feel like, if I just have enough faith, then maybe God will save me. No, it's not in the quantity of faith. It's in the object of faith. So in his word do I hope. I wait for the Lord. You can say that's Christ. My soul doth wait. See, that's the spirit of grace that causes us not to look anywhere else but to Christ and in his word. In him who is thy word. God has never spoken peace to a sinner apart from Christ. So in his word do I hope. Now, it's not on our timetable, is it? I've heard preachers say, go get down on your knees and don't get up until God saved you. Well, that's assuming then that somehow if I wait long enough that God's going to respond on my timetable. That's not what it says. My soul waiteth for the Lord, verse 6, more than they that watch for the morning. Have you ever been around a sick loved one? Not knowing whether or not they'll live or die. And perhaps the doctor has said, we'll see in the morning. Well, how do you pass the night waiting for the morning, hopeful that there will be a turn? But it's out of your hands. You wait as one that waits more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. And so that's a good thing. If somebody sees this as a drudgery, and this is our problem today, because in the modern day preaching, we hear of what I call a vending machine salvation. If I just put my faith in, and I put in exactly the amount that's required, then I expect in return, when I pull that throttle, salvation comes out. And when I get it, then I know I've had the right amount of faith. If it jams, something's wrong, then I got to figure out, I'm here at the machine trying to figure out how I'm going to get this salvation. That's in men's religion. But those that are the Lord's wait on the Lord. There is a quiet waiting on him, come what may. And so verse 7, let Israel hope in the Lord. Who's Israel? Well, that's the ones that God has chosen in his grace and mercy to be. The word Israel means to be elevated to prince. Prince with God. Let those that God has purposed to raise up hope in the Lord. For with the Lord, there it is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Those go together. Forgiveness and justification, and mercy and redemption. God can never show mercy to any sinner apart from a ransom. Well, in the Old Testament, it was a covering until Christ should come. But now, we look back at this and say, that again is Christ. Mercy in Christ, redemption in Christ, forgiveness in Christ, hope in Christ. And I love verse 8, he shall. Doesn't say he'll redeem everybody, but he shall redeem his Israel. He'll redeem everyone that he has chosen by his grace from all his iniquities. And that little word shall is important. It was forward looking to the cross. There was no redemption. There was no forgiveness. There was a covering for sin. But there was no redemption, forgiveness, or justification until the debt was paid. And the debt was paid when Christ came and paid it. So that's how God shows mercy. I don't know about you, but that's a precious psalm to me. One that the Lord has used over and over again my life, because we get distressed, we get looking around, we get looking within, we compare ourselves one with another. Am I the Lord's or am I not? Well, how does the Lord show mercy? Here it is right here, Psalm 130. Let's have a word of prayer. Most gracious Father, what a precious word this is. Oh, that by your Spirit you would draw our attention away from ourselves and our endeavors and cause us to look to Christ alone. Thank you for the preparation of heart as we prepare to hear your word preached. And again, my prayer is that Christ be exalted in our midst, and that you truly cause us in our spirit to wait upon you. And in so doing, we know there's hope with you in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose name I pray. Amen.